Final hour live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Welcome back, or welcome in, if you're now joining us on 104.5 The Zone. Got a lot more to get into with the Titans and the Bengals in the final hour before we sign off today, but you don't got to worry about that because live and local coverage continues on through this afternoon and into this evening on your flagship home for Titans Radio, 104.5 The Zone. Evan Washburn of CBS, he's going to be on the sidelines. He'll join us coming up next, and we'll talk about what he's been able to learn from both the Bengals and the Titans coaching staff throughout the course of their production meetings getting ready for this game. But in the meantime, the Derrick Henry situation is something that we are about 3 hours away from. Lucas, we should basically have a countdown at this point. Something to signify that Derrick Henry time is officially here. I know that 3HL is going to get the breaking news probably while they're getting ready to start their first segment at 3 p.m. Central Time today, because that is when the team has up until to make the move official. Mike Vrabel, throughout the course of the week, he wanted to see how Derrick Henry was going to respond to contact during practice in their first day on Tuesday. They had fully padded practice. You know, they're not going to go full speed in the middle of a potential playoff push with their most important player, but, you know, they basically had Jayon Brown, and I can't remember who exactly was wearing the number 91 jersey. It wasn't Laurell Murchison, but they had two Titans defensive players out there basically as crash dummies for Derrick Henry to get some practice reps in using contact. And so when we talked to Mike Vrabel about Derrick Henry the other day, this is what the Titans head coach had to say.
Make a determination on him tomorrow. And, you know, obviously I think his workload probably increased throughout the week.
So that's all Mike was going to give you, right? He was playing coy with it yesterday as well. Because they could have activated Derrick Henry after they cleared him through the contact practice, but they're going to wait up until this 3 p.m. deadline because that's how Mike wants to do business, and that's entirely his prerogative. At this point, though, that's the thing that everybody, it's the worst-kept secret in the NFL that Derrick Henry is going to play against the Bengals, and it kind of goes back into this idea that with all the different things that the Titans have at their disposal, the Derrick Henry element is really just kind of the thing that's on top, the cherry on top of the sundae, right? You've won games without Derrick Henry. In fact, you've been able to go 6-3 down the stretch without him in the regular season. It's as impressive as anything that they've been able to accomplish. And the thing with Derrick is it just makes them that much better, right? When Derrick got hurt, I made the analogy to you of he's a 2,000-yard running back in a 1,500-yard offense. And I think what they've basically proved is that's exactly so. You get game-breaking potential when Derrick Henry's back out on the field. You get a completely different element of respect. You get fear from a defense when you're getting ready to run play-action passes or boot concepts where you have to keep your eyes on number 22 at any given point. It's critical. And it can make defenses, it can put defenses in conflict situations, and that fraction of a second that it takes them to recover may be too much because Derrick Henry is the kind of player that will streak through your secondary in a way that Deonte Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard aren't quite capable of doing quite the same. 615-737-1045. You can jump in this final hour if you want to. Questions, comments, concerns, and opinions about the Titans versus the Bengals on Saturday afternoon at Nissan Stadium. We've got Adrian, who's in Columbia, up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Adrian?
Yo, can you hear me?
I sure can, buddy.
Oh, for sure. What's up, Buck? How you doing today?
I'm good, boss. What you got?
Man, I want to say, hey, first of all, can I just say we got the Mount Rushmore running backs in the league history, I feel
That's
like.
True.
I just want to say. And I need I really have a question. What's going on with the linebackers? Because I know Jayon Brown and Evans was a healthy scratch for Houston, I believe. So do they feel that comfortable with Cunningham and David Long Jr. to take their places? Do you think they'll be active for this game? Or, like, what's your thoughts on that? I just want to say y'all have a great day and tighten up.
Thanks very much for the call, Adrian. Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, these are the two best linebackers that they have now in David Long and Zach Cunningham. And potentially, moving forward, they can keep Zach Cunningham around. And it will be at some financial expense. But if you were going to keep Rashawn Evans, it was going to be also pretty expensive. They declined his fifth-year option for a reason. And you saw him in Houston. He only played two snaps. Jayon Brown was a healthy scratch. They've largely moved on from those two. Now, what it does allow them to do is if you can keep those two invested and you can help them understand, as they've tried to throughout the course of this, because it's not a pleasant situation. Jayon Brown is on billboards around this city. I mean, he's one of the most marketed players on the Titans football team, and he was a healthy scratch in their Week 18 game after basically losing his starting spot, his full-time starting spot, to David Long. Rashawn Evans, a first-round pick, who's been basically jettisoned from the starting lineup for Zach Cunningham, a guy who is hugely talented and was able to clear waivers and end up on this Titans roster in a way that I honestly think somebody should have picked him up just to keep him from landing with Mike Vrabel again, because you've seen how effective that was. And to your question, Adrian, do they trust what they have in Zach Cunningham and David Long? I mean, I would answer that question with a question of my own. Wouldn't you? Haven't you seen what they've been able to do, how much improved they've been in the middle of that defense? Rashawn Evans is a hugely athletic player, but the instincts sometimes can betray him. Zach Cunningham is much better in those situations. He's an upgrade at that position, as is David Long. Because I know that Jayon and Rashawn has come under much more criticism, but Jayon is a fan favorite, and understandably so. He's played some good years here in Tennessee, but to think that those two are irreplaceable, I think is foolish because they've already been replaced. Steve is in Laverne up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Steve? We're live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. What you got?
Hey, sir. Love your show. Do a great job.
Thank you.
I was originally from Chicago back in 85 when the Bears won the Super Bowl. Bears, big Bears fan. Moved to Miami, became a Dolphins fan. Then moved to Tampa with the job and became a Bucks fan. Then I moved to Nashville right after about the Jeff Fisher era. Watched a few games, season or two, and I wasn't thrilled. Then I heard Mike Keith. I've dyed blue ever since.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah, Michael convert a lot of non-believers, man. Mike Keith is he's the best in the business. There's no question. And I know he is going to be turned up to 11 in the booth on Saturday at Nissan Stadium, both him and Coach Matt calling this Titans and Bengals game. I mean, the atmosphere is going to be insane. Julio Jones and Taylor Lewan, they did a joint press conference yesterday with Titans Media, and we asked them both about, you know, just what kind of atmosphere they expect at Nissan Stadium. This is going to be the first capacity crowd for a playoff game that the Titans have had in the better part of two decades. Because, of course, I mean, last year it almost felt like it didn't count. It felt like a scrimmage against the Ravens that counted for the postseason. But when we talked to Julio Jones and Taylor Lewan yesterday, you could tell how much they really feel it and how much they want Titans fans to buy in.
Yeah, for me, I talk to the guys, just take advantage of your opportunity. I've been in the league 11 years now, and this is my only second time having the first, you know, first seed and things like that. So you can't take them for granted. You know, you got to be ready to go, and it's win or go home. So, like, don't take any energy home with you. Just leave everything you got when you come to work and when we get to the game.
Yeah, there's no saving yourself here. Luckily for us, I mean, the whole offensive line, all five of those starters have played in the playoff games before. I've been there. Nate Davis is the most spoiled out of all of us. Every year he's been in the league, he's been in the playoffs. So, but, you know, the younger guys, too, I mean, those guys have done such a great job of staying locked in and knowing where they're at, especially you watch games. If you watch Corey Levin or Dylan on the sideline during games, how dialed they are. They're writing stuff down. They're making sure we're on our P's and Q's. They tell us stuff when we come off the sideline. So I have no question that they'll be ready in case of an emergency.
Do you think the stadium is going to be maybe at a different level than it ever has been since you've been
here? I think it should be. I mean, is the playoffs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. You know, I think a couple weeks ago we talked about Logan Ryan and his statement. And like I said before, I love Logan. But what an opportunity it is for these fans to shut him up.
That's Taylor Lewan and Julio Jones meeting with the media yesterday. I mean, Taylor said it best. Logan Ryan kind of sideswiped the Titans fan base a couple of weeks ago in a press conference with New York Giants media talking about, you know, he came from a fan base in Tennessee that he felt was non-existent. And all Titans fans have done since then is try and show Logan Ryan how very, very real they are. It's going to be interesting to see tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. We're going to talk about it coming up next with Evan Washburn, sideline reporter for CBS. He'll be a part of the broadcast team that will be on the call for the Titans versus the Bengals. We'll get more of your phone calls as well coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. It's packed in here for lunch. You should come check it out. Hot chicken, barbecue, fantastic drinks, so many more things. I think Kirby Allen Kirby's about to order a pizza. About to get fired up in here on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Buck Rising here with you on 104.5 The Zone. Evan Washburn of CBS going to join us here in just a second, talk about what he's been able to learn from both the Titans and the Bengals coaching staffs in his production meetings for CBS. 615-737-1045. Get a few more phone calls in here while we wait for Evan. We got Michael in Nashville up next. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's going on? Just simple thing. If you win a toss, do you want the ball or do you defer?
Defer, Michael, every time. Put that defense out on the field.
Henry's been waiting 12 weeks. That would be – I mean, I know he'll defer, but
he can wait a possession. He can wait a possession, Michael. Derrick Henry's waited 12 weeks. He can wait a possession. I understand the excitement around Derrick Henry. I totally get it. And I understand what that environment's going to be like in Nissan Stadium on Saturday when they announce him. It's going to be crazy when they activate him at 3 p.m. today. People are going to be naked in the streets. But what I'll tell you is this. Anytime you have the opportunity to win the toss, I think that you defer almost every time. Unless you're playing with last year's Titans defense that was just unholy on third downs and not able to get after the quarterback whatsoever, you defer if you win that toss and you put that defense out on the field to cause Joe Burrow problems. Because if you can put them in a hole early and you set your offense up for success, or you can cause a turnover or whatever, like, trust your defense. It's a completely different season as far as this situation is concerned. From year to year, the Tennessee Titans have had as big a turnaround on that side of the ball as any unit, offense, defense, or special teams in the NFL this season. There is no doubt in my mind that if you win the toss, you defer, and you give Jeff Simmons and Danico Autry, Harold Landry, and Bud Dupree a crack at Joe Burrow and his see-through glasses. 615-737-1045. That's the number. Looking forward to catching up with Evan Washburn of CBS Sports here in just a minute. He's going to be on the sidelines for the Titans and the Bengals. I think that they have been pretty steadfast in that. And I understand the angst and the nerves about people who just want to see how Derrick Henry looks. And listen, if they run it on first down, as they are infinitely known to do, and he gets tackled for loss on the first play, like, that's not something to get bent out of shape about. Like, you don't have to live and die with every play if Derrick Henry's out on the field. But we'll get back to that here in just a second. Or in fact, we'll talk about it with Evan Washburn of CBS, who joins us now. He'll be on the sidelines, the broadcast, 3:30 Central Time kickoff here in Nashville. Evan, we appreciate you stopping by. What's going on, my man?
Not much. So what's going on with Derrick Henry? Haven't heard about it.
I mean, it's all we've talked about here locally for 3 months, Evan. This place is going to lose its mind when he gets activated today, much less when he takes the field on Saturday.
As they should. I mean, he's a transcendent, once-in-a-generation talent that really has shown to be, I mean, I don't want to say superhuman, but to get himself back to a position where they're his optimism about what he can do in this game is incredible, and we all benefit from it as football fans.
Certainly. I know football fans around the league are excited to see what he can do when he does get out on the field. Now, Evan, you've talked to both sides at this point in your preparations for this game. When you talk to the Bengals coaching staff about this Titans offense, what's their kind of mindset about what this team is and basically what this team has looked like throughout the course of the season? Because I think those are two very different conversations with the number of players that have taken the field for Tennessee.
Yeah, agreed. And I think they would echo that. But what they would say, and I would also agree with on that front, is that despite the amount of guys that have gone in and out, they haven't necessarily lost the identity of what they want to be as an offense. And that's incredibly impressive. It's a testament to all those players that have played. I think it's 38 different guys offensively, and obviously the staff to be able to tweak a game plan to try to work towards the skills of who's ever in there. But as I think Todd Downing put it at one point during the year, they never really jerked the wheel and shifted completely away from being a run first, downhill physical team that will try and play action and move Ryan Tannehill around to manipulate things offensively. So now they get the benefit of having all the pieces they planned on having all year long there in the most important game. And I think Cincinnati expects that. They realize that Derrick Henry's coming in off of what have been, I think, about 12 weeks out of game action. And who knows how much he's going to play and what his workload will be. But their approach, which makes sense to me, is plan for him to play as much as he normally plays and adjust accordingly.
Evan Washburn of CBS is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about this Titans and Bengals game coming up on Saturday afternoon. Of course, CBS will have the game, and you can see Evan on the sidelines. With Derrick Henry being the worst-kept secret in the NFL right now, Evan, you look at this Bengals defense, and Trey Hendrickson cleared to play out of concussion protocol, a concussion that he suffered in the wild-card round against the Vegas Raiders. Larry Ogunjobi, though, a big loss for that defensive line. When you spoke to the Bengals this week about the status of their defense and how that's basically going to have to be next man up, what was their kind of mindset, their mentality, and what have they been talking about with their defense at this point?
Well, as you would imagine, I mean, they have confidence in their depth, as they should, too. I mean, they've still got some bodies there. I mean, look, Larry Ogunjobi was having a really strong season, and that's a legitimate loss. And Mike Daniels, who's been in and off the practice squad, but an experienced guy who was getting some time behind him, was also injured in that game. So, look, it's real that they're a bit thin in terms of known commodities at that position at defensive tackle, but they still have DJ Reader. They've got B.J. Hill kind of steps in, and they've signed a guy this week, and they've had some guys come up off the practice squad. And as you know, if you have a couple established of guys like a DJ Reader and a BJ Hill that you can lean on, and then it's just more of like making sure we have enough bodies to rotate through. That's what got in their way Saturday against the Raiders, is based off of the amount of defensive tackles they had activated, and they lost two of them. They were down to just two. So it wasn't necessarily that they didn't have enough good players, they just didn't have enough guys to keep them fresh at that position. I don't think that'll be a problem tomorrow.
With this game plan for the Titans, Evan, we know, as you mentioned, Todd Downing has wanted to stick with their identity throughout the course of the injuries, whether it's Derek, whether it's A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. I'm curious to know, what is Mike Vrabel like in your production meetings versus what he's like with us in local press conferences? Is Mike as gruff with you guys as he is with us?
Look, man, I've watched all those press conferences. It's similar in a lot of ways, but I love it. I mean, like, it's a lot of jabs, and if you're ready to punch back, I always feel like he appreciates that. He's very to the point. If you ask a legitimate question that isn't trying to unveil some secret that, look, I understand why these guys want to keep certain things close to the vest, but if you approach it as somebody who just wants to learn and understand and have some legitimate context ahead of a game, then I always feel like it's a healthy back and forth. And honestly, he's one of my favorite guys to meet with, whether it be in a production meeting, training camp, in game. I have a lot of fun, talking to Braves.
Yeah, Mike is, if like you said, if you ask him stimulating football questions without trying to give up secrets, he's pretty willing to engage, if not rough you up on the front end. So when you talk to the Titans and the coaching staff at this point about their mindset, Evan, it's crazy here. And locally, you know, obviously we're biased about how the Titans are talked about, how the Titans are discussed or not discussed for probably more accurately. It doesn't seem to faze Mike, and this football team seems to really have embraced his identity throughout the course of this whole thing.
Couldn't agree more, and I've felt that the last couple of years. And I thought Mike was great in us with us when I think whether it was Ian or I can't remember who brought it up, but about just the storylines and not so much the are you doubted or do people not talk about the Titans as much, but he made the great point. Like we don't waste time worrying about storylines. They've got stuff to worry about that really matters to the end result of the game. And that's not to downplay what you do or what we do. Or that's part of the fun. I mean, we're the circus around the game, and we build up the excitement for the people watching or attending, and it's a really valuable component. But I completely understand why it means little to nothing to the guys actually competing in the game. So it's almost two different worlds. And to your point, I think more so when it comes to the identity, it's the physical, no-nonsense approach that the players have when they're actually playing that I think is most important and something that I have to imagine stems from who Mike was as a player and is as a coach now.
Evan Washburn of CBS is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. He'll be on the sidelines for the Titans and the Bengals Saturday afternoon, 3:30 kickoff, which you can catch on CBS. With that being said, Evan, I look at Jeffrey Simmons in particular and how well Joe Burrow is playing. And it's not a one-on-one matchup there, obviously. Titans have a pretty effective four-man pass rush, and Burrow has been just an absolute stud in his second year. In speaking to Burrow this week, how is he kind of approaching this opportunity? Because he seemed utterly unfazed about the first Bengals playoff win in 31 years. Maybe that's the right mindset to have.
He's wired like that, and I don't think it's an act. We've had the Bengals number of times this year, did a sit-down with Joe, the NFL Today, earlier in the season, and just struck by his poise. I mean, there's a lot going on there, and he's got personality. We've seen kind of a swagger, whether it's the clothes he wears, the sunglasses he has in the post-game press conference, but most importantly to his coaches and his teammates when the moment is – at its largest and most impactful, he seems to be the most even keeled. And I think he's setting the tone for the organization that as exciting as it was to snap that, I think, 31-year drought of a playoff win, that's no longer really the standard. The standard is just getting to this point every year. And as he put it really well, I mean, that was icing on the cake. That was the cake. So it kind of gives you an idea of how he's approaching this.
I'm always amazed when I watch him in these press conferences because you're right, he just carries himself differently. And I couldn't help but like laugh a little bit watching a press conference when he said, yeah, I expected to be at this point in my rookie year. And you know, from our standpoint, or at least from my standpoint, listening to that and having seen this Bengals team last year that the Titans actually lost to in Cincinnati, I think that is such an invaluable trait for a quarterback to possess and something that I think, honestly, that ability to be unfazed that Ryan Tannehill has managed pretty well throughout all the course of the stuff that his team has had to go through with the injuries piling up and the different kinds of adversity that they face throughout the middle of this season.
It has to be authentic, and I think that's what you have in Burrow, and I think, to your point with Ryan Tannehill, it's not the same approach, whether it be publicly in dealing with the media or in game. It's stylistically very different. But one thing Ryan Tannehill has proven over his time as an NFL quarterback is he's one, incredibly tough physically. I mean, I've seen him take some hits that I can't imagine ever getting up from going back to his days in Miami. But just he is always focused on what's in front of him, and at least publicly, and it would appear even in game with his teammates, he never allows himself to look rattled, no matter how bad things may be going or how frustrating it may have been and was to have the just what felt like a revolving door of wide receivers, running backs, and offensive linemen in front of him. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he's one of three guys on that offense that actually played in all 18 games.
Evan, with this game, there's a lot of interesting matchups. Obviously, the Bengals have some incredible firepower on offense. Titans looking as healthy as they have all season long on that side of the football. What are the matchups that you're most focused on as you head into this game?
I'm curious how the Titans secondary deals with the firepower of the three wide receivers the Bengals have and it's led by Ja'Marr Chase, and it's that constant tug and pull, cat and mouse. How do you prioritize that, and then you leave yourself vulnerable to T. Higgins, who's an 1,000-yard receiver who may appear to just be a big play threat, but is an incredibly adept route runner. And then you can't forget about Tyler Boyd, because he's really a physical slot receiver that can make big plays as well. So the priorities for Shane Bowen and Vrabel and how they determine what they're going to do on the back end, because as much as Cincinnati is two-dimensional in the fact that they have a Pro Bowler and Joe Mixon they can lean on in the run game, if you look at the last, I think it's 5 or 6 games, ever since the L.A. game they lost, I mean, they've made it no secret. They want to attack you with big plays early if they can, and then lean on the running game to close out contests. So that to me, is going to be really fun to watch.
Evan Washburn, at Evan Washburn is where you can follow him on social. You see him on the sidelines on CBS for this game between the Titans and the Bengals tomorrow, Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Central Time. Evan, what's the one storyline that I haven't asked you about that is also of intrigue to you in this game? Is there one that I've missed?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, you've been pretty thorough, so well done on that front. But I do think, I mean, I mentioned him briefly there. I'm curious, and we talked to Zach Taylor about it. Like, if you look statistically, Joe Mixon hasn't been as impactful in this 5-game stretch as he was at the, you know, the front end of the season. I mean, they just haven't run the ball as much, and
right,
he's been part of the passing game as well. But you look at certain games, and we had him in Vegas is one that comes to mind early in the year. I mean, Joe Mixon is right there, I mean, along with Derrick Henry and Najee Harris in Pittsburgh. I mean, he's one of those bruising backs that can just wear on you by the end of the game, and he's been quiet. So is this a game where they need him to wake up? Do the Titans do something to limit that passing game so the Bengals pivot and go back run first team? So that's one thing. I don't think there's been enough discussion about just how valuable Joe Mixon is and can be for the Bengals in this one.
Yeah, the volume has certainly been there for Cincinnati, but their efficiency has certainly gone down since that middle part of the NFL season. Evan Washburn, I really appreciate you spending some time with us. Stay warm out there on the sidelines on Saturday, and we'll see you at Nissan Stadium.
It's going to be balmy compared to Buffalo last Saturday night, so I'm happy as can be.
Yeah, thanks, Evan. We appreciate the time, man.
You got it.
Evan Washburn there of CBS Sports. He'll be on the sidelines for the Titans and the Bengals. Yeah, the Mixon thing, the Bengals run game, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, and they do stay committed to it. 25 attempts last week against Las Vegas, not a real not a lot of efficiency. I mean, Mixon was averaging just 2.8 yards per attempt, really, really struggling there. So if you can make them one-dimensional, you'll give yourself a good opportunity. And the Titans running defense or rushing defense throughout the course of this season, certainly in the second half, they've been truly impressive. 615-737-1045 is the number. Lucas, is Brandon in Antioch still there that wants to weigh in with a message for Titans fans? All right, Brandon, you're live on the speakers at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. There's a bunch of Titans fans in here. Why don't you go ahead and deliver the message? What you got?
Well, I didn't want to sound like anybody's parent today, but just wanted to make sure that they still keep their parents around. In 2006, a drunk driver killed my father, and so I just wanted to remind Titans fans not to drink and drive. Make sure you have a designated Dave or Uber, Lyft, whatever means you have to get home, but please don't drink and drive.
Hey, that's a great message, Brandon. We appreciate the call. Lucas, go ahead and give it to him right there. Thank you for that. 615-737-1045 is last call for phone calls on this Football Friday, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Kirby Allen Kirby is face deep in a great pizza from Scoreboard. It smells fantastic in here. Hot chicken, barbecue, incredible cocktails. Come check it out for the games on Saturday and on Sunday if you're not able to get into Nissan Stadium yourself. They've got a great setup out here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. We'll get to more of your phone calls to wrap up the show. Do some poll questions on the other side as well. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Last segment here from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us all week long. It's been a lot of fun. Many thanks to Scoreboard for having us out yesterday and today. Great spot for you to come watch the games this weekend if you can't make it in for yourself. Know a lot of people coming in from out of town. We've seen some Titans fans from California in the building. They're going to the game tomorrow. People calling in from all over the country all week long to talk about how excited they are for this game. Now, I'm excited because before we get to the polls, we're going to finish this week off the right way because Kirby Allen Kirby has been hammering me all week long about this Bengals story that he wants to tell. So, Kirby, make sure your mic's on this time. It's not on. He goes, no, it is on. No, Kirby, it's not on. How?
It's on. Just mute it.
It's every time.
I was trying to be a wise butt. But anyway.
Why do you do this? Tell the story. What have you brought up?
Well, no, it was Bengals. They're playing the Bengals this week.
They
My
are.
Daughter's first NFL football game in 1994 was I took her to Cincinnati to see the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
She is decked out in all of her favorite Cowboys regalia. And we trek up there. We walk to the stadium. We're in our seats. I think it was the year Jeff Blake beat the Cowboys.
Okay.
She notices that the ladies, turned out that it was the ladies auxiliary, Cincinnati ladies auxiliary. They have these beautiful little headbands on with these cute little Bengal tiger ears, like stuffed animals.
Sure.
She's about six. She has to have one. So we spend most of the first quarter and part of the second trying to locate the store or kiosk inside the stadium that we can obtain those. When one of the ladies tells us that, we don't sell those, they have those made for them. Now she's distraught. So we go back to our seats, and I'm explaining to her, hey, we tried, we gave it our best effort, whatever. And the lady in front of us turns around and puts hers on her head and allows her to wear it for the entire game. And I looked at her, I'm like, and she's just glowing and
That's
basking
lovely.
In it. And, of course, she cursed the Cowboys because she's wearing gear with the head, and they lost. And I waited about 3 years, and she'd be telling the story, and I'm like, you know, you're the reason why they lost that game. to this day, if she brings that up, I go, you know, the reason that the Cowboys lost that game. But anyway, that's my Bengals story.
That's very wholesome. That's more wholesome than I was expecting from Kirby Allen Kirby on this Friday. Thank you, Kirby.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Always a pleasure. Mike was on for that. All right, give me the polls. Oh, no, Lucas.
No.
Am I? Oh, no, Lucas. We'd had such a good week.
Such a good week. Do listen to Blaine and Mickey, though. Wrong
What'd
button.
You do? What'd you do? All right, give me the right button.
But I know what it's time for. A poll update on the Buck Rising Show. Here's a young man with a very particular set of skills. With the final numbers... Here's Buck Rising Show correspondent and producer, Lucas Panzica.
Lucas isn't here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill to see the just bewildered looks of the Blaine and Mickey promo play in the middle of that.
Everybody,
so I'm here to just
to
eat your shame.
Blaine and Mickey from 1 to 3. Maybe we'll get some Derrick Henry official activation news. So
I'll
stay
be
tuned
there.
For it. Yes, you will. How did you become a Titans fan? Okay, great responses here. There's over 300 of them, so I can't get to them all. Bird says, it was a natural progression for me. I was always a huge Oiler fan, and then they moved. It was the greatest thing ever. That's one sect of Titans fans that you don't really think about. The ones that were diehard Oilers fans, because they were on TV, right? And then they moved to your town.
No, I mean, listen, it played a big role in week 18 when they went to Houston. I mean, I'm telling you, there was nobody in that stadium and a ton of Titans fans. Because, of course, the Houston Oilers starting... the franchise and then becoming the Tennessee Oilers and then becoming the Tennessee Titans. It's transcended generations, and the roots are really, really strong in Houston. It's pretty cool to see when you go down there.
David says, my mom and dad went to a Titans game in December of 99, and I was born in May of 2000, so it's all I've ever known. I remember watching Vince Young and CJ2K on TV with my dad.
Yeah, so for every one of those, there's a bunch of people, the 80 to 100 people moving into our city a day, that don't have those experiences. A win on Saturday at Nissan Stadium, you can capitalize on this momentum, not just to advance in the postseason, but to also continue to grow the Titans fan base, because there's a big generational disconnect between people who loved them when they first got here, experienced those crazy runs that they went on, and certainly losing in dramatic fashion in the Super Bowl. But in between that middle, really, I mean, probably 10 to 12 years of bad football, you've lost a lot of ground that you can gain starting this Saturday.
And Goody says he grew up in a Browns household living in Western New York. So when the Titans beat the Bills in the Music City Miracle, boom, instant fandom.
There it is. What else we got?
Does Penny Hardaway have a clue what he's doing? 25% say no. 75% say hell no.
I can't get over how ridiculous Penny Hardaway sounded in that press conference. I know, you know, now is not the time to do college basketball. NFL playoffs are around the corner. Nobody cares but us because Penny Hardaway is a clown sitting up there at a press conference. But I just run that through my prism and imagine what Mike Vrabel would look like trying to tell us. Imagine what I would do if I had my full roster healthy. No, Mike doesn't do that because he's a professional coach, unlike Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, what you just said, how ridiculous he sounded in that press conference, that is an evergreen statement when it comes to Penny Hardaway.
You might be biased.
What is the least discussed matchup between Titans and Bengals? Puka says it's Trey Hendrickson against Taylor Lewan. Hendrickson has 14 sacks, and to make Julio effective, Tannehill will need time to throw.
I don't know if Hendrickson is going to be lined up over Lewan or if they'll try and take advantage of David Questenberry, because that is definitely the path of least resistance on the Titans offensive line. That's not something we really got into in a lot of detail today. We'll talk about it a lot more on the Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff. By the way, coverage starts at 11. I'll be on at noon live outside the Pro Shop at Nissan Stadium. So if you're coming to the game, come by, say hi before we all go in together. But I think that Randy Bullock is flying under the radar as the Bengals' revenge game, because you'll remember that he was the Bengals' kicker when that one-win Bengals team beat the Titans in Cincinnati last year.
Here's a good one from Ian. Dane Cruikshank matching up against their big tight end, CJ Uzomah. I haven't really talked about that matchup much this year, but Cruikshank had a nice year guarding some of the NFL's elite tight ends.
Yep, we'll spend time on that tomorrow for certain.
Stoney says, I'm going linebackers against Joe Mixon. Can't let Mixon get going, especially around the perimeter. He agrees with Evan Washburn there.
You know, he hasn't really been able to, quote-unquote, get going, but he does present that potential. He can make plays in the passing game as well. They like to use those screens to get those playmakers out in space, not just for the running backs, by the way, but for that great collection of wide receivers.
Playoff Julio on Twitter says, a lot of talk about the run, but A.J. Brown and Julio against the 27th-ranked pass defense in the NFL.
Yeah, Mike Hilton's a good slot corner, but other than that, I mean, Eli Apple is just waiting to be taken advantage of. He's been across the league a couple of different spots, and he was taken advantage of in that Raiders game last Saturday.
What's the most intriguing NFL divisional round matchup outside of Nashville? 75% say it's Bills Chiefs. Understandable. Of course, the winner of that game will play winner of Titans Bengals. 14% say Rams and Bucks. 11% say Niners Packers.
Yeah, I'm honestly, the more I think about this, that Niners-Packers game is interesting because Aaron Rodgers, you know, he has as much to prove as anybody in this postseason. He has won as many NFC championship games as Tom Brady has. Tom Brady has only been in the NFC for now in his second season. So Aaron Rodgers needs to advance, and that Niners defense is going to get after him. I'm curious. They're all good games. Great weekend of football.
Yeah, there's no way Jimmy Garoppolo could go into Lambeau Field, into the tundra, and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, right?
It's happened. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has lost at home before.
Yeah, to Tom Brady last year.
Okay, I'm just saying. Don't get snippy with me. Relax back there.
Those are the polls.
All right, those are the polls. That's the show. Blaine and Mickey are next. Enjoy the football. Enjoy this weekend. Many thanks to Scoreboard Bar and Grill for having us out the last couple of days. I'll talk to you tomorrow at noon on the Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff live outside of the Pro Shop at Nissan Stadium. Kirby Allen, Kirby and I, we will be out there. We'll be braving the elements, and then we will all go inside and watch the football game together. See you later.